Hey, welcome back to my regular listeners and to all the new listeners. I am Tammy and this is Women Committing Crimes. Here we are back on track with WCC being every 2 weeks. Whew. It's been a hectic, really a bitch, first couple of weeks of school, but we're making it through and here we are, like I said, back on track, so it's kind of exciting. All right, so some news, some updates, that kind of stuff. Last week, I decided not to put so many sound effects in the podcast, and it seemed like people were on the fence about that. Some said they missed the sound effects, you know, like the time machine for when, you know, we do the historical timeline. And then some people were like, where's the gong or whatever, you know, for us to actually start about the women. I don't know. I haven't decided yet as I'm recording this whether or not I'll put those in. I'll decide at the last minute. So, you know, stay tuned and see. Well, you know now. Right? So, no one really said that they hated the sound effects, so, you know, I'll put them where I can. Like I said, we'll see what happens today. This week is all about pirates, so we'll see what we come up with as far as, you know, sound effects are concerned. And speaking of emails, keep those emails coming. They're marvelous. I'll try to read one each episode in the feedback section, but, you know, this week I'm not going to read one. Too many to sift through, and I didn't really have time, but if you don't want me to read yours, if you do email and you don't want me to read yours, please let me know. If you like or preferably love this podcast, please give it 5 stars on the Apple Podcast and give me some feedback in the comments sections. The ratings on podcasting sites help the podcast get more exposure, make it higher up on the list popularity-wise. All right, so we are going to go on to our PS section, though. I have two people I want to talk about today as far as updates. I know I keep talking about Elizabeth Holmes, but she's in the news a lot, believe it or not. And she keeps popping up, and she is our most popular person so far on Women Committing Crimes. So being contemporary, it's easy to find news about her. So the latest is, last time we talked about how she'd had her baby, right? The latest is, now she's claiming that her ex-boyfriend, Ramesh Sunny Balwani, her co-defendant, abused her emotionally, sexually, and manipulated her. Now, I'm always one who will believe a chick when she says she's been abused in any way. First on board. But, I don't know, it almost seems like an 11th hour Hail Mary pass here. It's possibly true, possibly not, of course. I want to believe her, but I don't know. She seems quite manipulative herself, so, you know, we'll have to see. It'll be interesting to find out what the judge, jury, all that kind of stuff says, so stay tuned. Also in our PS section this week is Maria Licciardi, the Italian crime boss. So, she's like 70 years old now. She was arrested last month trying to leave Italy to go to Spain. That's all I have so far. I don't know, you know, they were looking for her. There was a warrant. So, we'll see what happens with that, too. I'll kind of keep, you know, checking it out. All right, so yo-ho-ho, let's get to the pirating part. This kind of was exciting for me. I was just going to do Mary Read, but I decided to do Anna Bonny also. Because it's easier to talk about both these pirates at the same time because they're part of the same crew. So we're going to start with Mary Read in a little bit, and then we'll move on to Anna Bonny, but at the appropriate time where they kind of come together and be part of the same crew. First, though, it's the history lesson timeline. To set the historical context for these ladies. This is so brief and so short. Again, if you're interested in pirates, if pirating is your thing, or any of this stuff that you hear about is your thing, please Google it. Please continue on with the search for knowledge. It's always fun. All this stuff is fun to do. All right, so both were born, Mary Read and Anne Bonny, at the end of the 17th century, 1685 and 1697, respectively. So we'll start our timeline about the year 1700, since both were probably dead by the 1720s. But I do want to mention that when Mary was born, she was the one that was born in 1685, King James II was on the throne. And then when Anne was born, King William III was on the throne. And while they were pirating, Queen Anne, then King George I were on the throne. So in their short lifetimes, and their lifetimes are short, in their short lifetimes, there's like 4 monarchs that are on that throne. I find that weird. All right. So let's go on with the rest of the timeline. So 1700, just to go with some stuff that's going around the world at the time. 1700, the Ottoman Empire. I'm sorry, Peter the Great is the Tsar of Russia. I kind of glanced away from my timeline and couldn't find my place. Anyway, Peter the Great is the Tsar of Russia. 1701 to 1714, they are pirating during what's called the War of Spanish Succession. So Charles II, the King of Spain, died without an heir, which is like, you know, a bad thing to do. His closest heirs were the Habsburgs, who controlled like the rest of Europe almost, and the French Bourbons. So the French Bourbons and the Spanish Habsburgs are duking it out to see who gets the throne. All right, so that's what's going on while a lot of pirating is going on, not just with these ladies, but of course, you know, this is a time when, you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean are like a thing, right? 1710, the Ottoman Empire and the Russians fight in the Russo-Turkish War. 1714, in Amsterdam, Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit, interestingly enough, invents the mercury in glass thermometer. So, cool invention. And then 1718, the city of New Orleans is founded by the French in North America. So that's good enough on that. Yeah, there's just all kinds of stuff going on, but those are the highlights, which I always like to do just to set the stage. So, on to our Lady Pirates, arg. That's the best I can do. Don't judge. So, there's not a whole lot about Mary Read's past. There's more about Anne Bonny's, and we'll get to her later. But Mary Read, okay, so her mother, I couldn't find her name. Her mother was married to a sailor. While he was at sea, she had an affair and got pregnant, then moved to the country due to the anger of her husband's family. So, you know, she moves out of London or wherever she was. I couldn't find that. But anyway, so Mary's mom had a son, and then she later finds out that her husband dies at sea. So then her son dies also. There's a lot of death back then. So she had another affair and had Mary. Okay. So husband died, son died, but she has an affair. Now, the tricky thing is that her husband's family, back wherever she came from, did not know that she had a son and that son died. Well, they know she had a son, but they didn't know that son died. Okay, this is tricky, I know. Okay, you know, stay with me. So, when she has Mary, okay, she has no money, and she wants the inheritance that she would get from her husband's family due to her husband's death. So, she disguised Mary as a boy and told her in-laws that Mary was her dead husband's son. It worked. Yeah, babies, right? Even toddlers, really. Other than stripping them naked to sea, you can pretty much get away with cross-dressing children, right? So, it worked, and Mary and her mother lived on the inheritance for a while. However, as a teen, Mary, they're still, you know, like a not rich or anything. So Mary, as a teen, would often dress as a boy to work as a footboy, servant. I had to look that up. That sounded weird. Later, she would dress as a man to join the military. In the military, well, why she would join the military? Again, these things are hard to find, right? There's not like a whole lot of written history about her. In the military, she met and married a Flemish man. They both quit the military and moved to the Netherlands to run an inn called the Three Horseshoes. Her husband, who had been quite a bit older than her, died, and she again dressed as a man to join the crew of a Dutch merchant vessel, and then she went to the West Indies in 1750. Now, if you're a pirate of any note, or want to be a pirate, or want to hang out with pirates in the 18th century, the West Indies is a place to go. And if you don't know what the West Indies are, it's the Caribbean, okay? So we're getting to that. The English pirate, Charles Vane, attacked that Dutch ship that Mary was on. Since she was the only English person on the ship, and Vane thought she was a dude, he offered for her to join his crew, and she gladly accepted. If you don't know much about pirates, the era of piracy in the Caribbean began in the 1500s and phased out about the 1830s. The period during which pirates were most successful was from the 1660s to the 1730s, so Mary's right in that thick of it, right? She's right in the yo-ho-ho, Pirates of the Caribbean, Jack Sparrow kind of stuff, right? So, piracy flourished in the Caribbean because of several reasons, and most of it is the existence of pirate seaports, such as Port Royal in Jamaica, Tortuga in Haiti, and Nassau in the Bahamas, and we'll get to those, some of those, in just a little bit. And according to Wikipedia, quote, pirates were often former sailors experienced in naval warfare. Beginning in the 16th century, pirate captains recruited seamen to loot European merchant ships, especially the Spanish treasure fleets sailing from the Caribbean to Europe, end quote. So really, there's a lot of stuff going on with the colonies, right? The Spanish colonies and the British colonies and the Portuguese. There's a lot of money going back and forth. There's a lot of booty going back and forth, right? So why not get some of it, legally or illegally? Well, Vane's crew ended up in Nassau, Bahamas. Mary with them. This was a famous base and stronghold. Like I said, we're going to talk about two of these. We don't really talk about Tortuga in this podcast. I wish I would have, though. But we're going to talk about Nassau and Port Royal. So Nassau was a famous base and stronghold of a loose confederacy of pirates, which was governed by an informal pirate code. We've all heard of that if you've seen the movies, right? Pirates of the Caribbean or any pirate movies, really. There's a loose code, guidelines, really. Crews would vote on the leadership of their ships and treat others with, they were to treat other pirates with civility. By 1718, the royal governor of the Bahamas, Woodes Rogers, love that name, it's really weird, Woodes Rogers, restored order with a pardon from King George I. King George I said, all pirates are now pardoned. Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it? But here's the theory. If you pardon the pirates, maybe they'll work for you and they'll become privateers. Okay, so what's a privateer? Is there a difference between pirate and privateer? There is, but barely. It's really a really thin line. Okay, a privateer, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, is an armed ship owned and officered by private individuals holding a government commission and authorized for use in war, especially in the capture of enemy merchant shipping. So, the difference is a privateer is just a pirate with government papers or what's called letters of marque. And pirates aren't usually hired by governments. They go off and do this on their own, right? So basically, privateers are illegal piracy. Yeah. The United States used them later, too, by the way. During the Revolutionary War and after, during the War of 1812 especially. Maybe someday later on that. Anyway, Mary, after the pardon from King George, goes on to become a privateer as a man, but then joins the crew on one of the ships that she was on. She joins the crew in mutiny of the ship. The ship lands in Port Royal, Jamaica, another pirate haven. This one is the pirate haven. Port Royal was founded in 1494 by the Spanish. It was a center of shipping and commerce, then became a home to privateers. They were paid by the British to attack Spanish ships. So again, legal piracy, legal, you know, being of the country that is supporting them, right? It became a base for pirates due to its close proximity to trade routes and its proximity to several safe passages, giving access to the Spanish Main. Spanish Main is, you know, parts of the Spanish Empire that were on the mainland of the Americas. It also had large harbors for large pirate ships. Once the English acquired it, they hired the pirates to protect it. Anything about pirate ships you want to know about, you can go back to season one about Qin Shi, the Chinese female pirate. I do a little bit about, you know, different types of ships in that podcast. So once the English acquired it, they hired those pirates to protect it. So it's still a pirate hangout, right? It was called the Sodom of the World because most of its residents were pirates, cutthroats, and prostitutes. Sodom, of course, being Sodom of the World, the Sodom part being named after the city in the Old Testament of the Bible. Sodom is Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, where people were committing acts of sodomy and stuff, and, you know, I guess it was destroyed by God. Anyway, this is where Mary meets Captain John Calico Jack Rackham and Anne Bonny, and Mary joins Rackham's crew as a man. Alrighty, so let's talk about Anne Bonny here, now that we've caught up with her, right? There's more about her in the historical works and books because of, you know, who her father was. Well, you don't know yet, but because of who her father was. So Anne Bonny was born March 8th, 1697 in Cork County, Ireland. She was the daughter of a servant woman, Mary Brennan, and William Cormack, a lawyer who was married to someone else at the time. Cormac moved to London, taking Mary Brennan and their baby with them. And he would often dress Anne as a boy and called her Andy. His plan was for her to become a lawyer's clerk. You know, women didn't have a lot of choices back then. They got married or, you know, they just had like very few choices back then. I mean, obviously you could work in poverty, you could wash a woman, you know, that kind of stuff. But really, I mean, she is, even though she's considered, I'll use the word, I hate that word, but illegitimate. She is, you know, born of out of wedlock. It would be hard to maybe marry her off too, you know, to somebody in a respect. Oops, sorry, hang on. Sorry for that noise. My phone rang, of course. I gotta start putting that on silent when I record. Anyway, back to Anne Bonny. All right, so as I was saying, you know, there's not very many prospects for a girl who is born out of wedlock. You know, her father might not be able to get her wed to a respectable family, that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's going to train her to become a lawyer's clerk as a boy. So, anyway, he's in London with, you know, his lover and his daughter, and his wife way back in Cork County finds out. Evidently, it was the wife that had more money than her, than him, because she finds out about Anne and cuts off William Cormac financially, which means, all right, anyway, so Cormac then moved Mary and Anne to the province of Carolina in the Americas. They go way far out of town. Instead of just London, this time they go across the ocean to, yes, the province of Carolina. So that's before Carolina split into the North and South Carolina. All right, so they lived on a plantation in Charlestown. Before it becomes Charleston, but it's Charlestown. Mary Brennan, Anne's mother, died when Anne was 12. And, you know, there's rumors about her growing up, the type of person that she was. Supposedly, she stabbed and killed a servant boy at the age of 13. She was, you know, that kind of person. It's on record that she married a sailor named James Bonny, which pissed her father off because the sailor was poor. So Cormac then disowned Anne. Way to go. Between 1714 and 1718, the Bonnies moved to Nassau, Bahamas. Yes. James Bonny became an informant for Governor Woodes Rogers in 1718 after the king's pardon, and didn't like that idea. Now, she had started to kind of enjoy what was going on in Nassau, you know, being the type of person that she seemed to be. She was hanging out in taverns and, you know, just kind of getting into that pirate vibe. And so she didn't like it that her husband was a pirate snitch. Anne met Calico Jack Rackham at one of the taverns, and they became lovers. Rackham offered Anne's husband money to divorce her, but James Bonny refused. So Rackham and Anne escaped, and she joined his pirate crew dressed as a man so the others would accept her at first. Anne then became pregnant. This is a story. Again, can't confirm this, but Anne became pregnant. Rackham took her to Cuba so she could have the baby so his crew wouldn't know. She had a son, but there's no information about what happened with the child. So, you know, maybe she gave him up. Maybe he died. I don't know. But she did rejoin the crew and then eventually got a divorce from James Bonny and married Rackham at sea. That's shortly after that is when Mary Read joins the crew. So, back to the convergent timelines. August 22nd, 1720, Rackham and his crew stole an armed sloop called William and Nassau. So, yeah, the name of the boat is William. It's just weird when people do that. The governor, yes, again, Woodes Rogers, put out a bounty on the Rackham pirates. It's rumored that he knew Anne and Mary were really women. It's questionable how well they fooled anyone, really, if at all. Dorothy Thomas, a victim of the Rackham pirates, said they, quote, wore men's jackets and long trousers and handkerchiefs tied around their heads, and each of them had a machete and pistol in their hands, and they cursed and swore at the man to murder me, end quote. But she said she suspected they were women, quote, from the largeness of their breasts, end quote. So, you know, it's kind of debatable as to whether or not anybody truly believed this to be, you know, that they're both men. However, for a while, Rackham did believe that Mary was a man. There was a connection between Anne and Mary, being, you know, females. It's also rumored that they were possibly lovers too. You know, who knows, right? It is what it is. But Anne told Mary, Bonny told Read that she was attracted to her. But as a man, supposedly, like, and as a woman is telling Reed, as a man, that she, Anne, is attracted to him, Mary. But then Mary revealed that she, Mary, was a woman. So by that time, Mary at least knew that Anne was a girl, right? So much drama. Then, Rackham got jealous of Reed, still thinking she's a dude. And so he, you know, thinking that Mary's a dude, thought that Anne and Mary were becoming lovers. Then Anne told Rackham that Mary was a chick. Charles Johnstone, who wrote the book A General History of Pirates in 1724, that's where most of this information comes from, said, quote, "This intimacy so disturbed Captain Rackham, who was the lover and gallant of Anne Bonny, that he grew furiously jealous, so that he told Anne Bonny he would cut her new lover's throat. Therefore, to quiet him, she let him into the secret also," end quote. So many questions. No answers, right? You know, how is it that this person, that these women can... anyway, it's just, I think it's funny. November 15, 1720, Rackham's crew was partying with another pirate crew off the coast of Jamaica around Port Royal. The men were very drunk and mostly below decks when the pirate hunter Captain Jonathan Barnett came upon them. Anne Bonny and Mary Reed put up a tremendous fight. Most of the men, seriously, were useless and drunk down in the hold partying. And Bonny and Reed were left along with just a few others to fight off the pirate hunter. I like the idea that you're a pirate hunter. And they're getting angry. They're getting pissed off. It's said that Reed even opened the hold and like shot down into there, killing one of the men because she's so angry that they're not coming up to help, right? They consider them drunk and cowardly for being down there. In fact, when they were finally captured, Anne said to Rackham, quote, "Had you fought like a man, you need not have hung like a dog," end quote, because that's exactly what happened. All the men were hung for piracy. Bonny and Reed did what's called pled the belly, or pleading the belly, meaning they both claimed to be pregnant. At the time, British law forbade execution of pregnant women because babies were seen as innocent victims. Okay, that's cool. But both women were sent to prison. Mary Reed died of a fever in prison, April 28, 1721. Most historians think it might have been the pregnancy, like she had a miscarriage kind of thing. And the burial records in St. Catherine's Church in Jamaica only record her death, no baby. So either the baby, was born and then she died afterwards, you know, blood loss, that kind of stuff. Having a baby, even today, having a baby is a health risk, but for sure, back in the 18th century, in Port Royal, Jamaica, I can't imagine it being, you know, an easy thing to do, right? I just can't. Well, anyway, so she dies April 28, 1721, and it's recorded. But there's no record of what happened to Anne Bonny. Charles Johnson said, quote, "She was continued in prison to the time of her lying in, and afterwards reprieved from time to time. But what has become of her since, we cannot tell. Only this we know, that she was not executed," end quote. And there's no records of a baby. So, according to Oxford Dictionary of National Biography, though, Anne's father supposedly paid a ransom for Anne. He then brought her back to Charleston, where she had Rackham's baby. She then got remarried to Joseph Burley and had 8 kids. supposedly, she died in South Carolina on April 25th, 1782. Cool, though, here, there's a statue of the two of them at Execution Dock in Wapping, London, England. Execution Dock was used for about 400 years to execute pirates, smugglers, mutineers. The last executions there took place in 1830, toward the end of, you know, the whole Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing. So, well, that's their story. Mary Reed and Anne Bonny, women committing crimes. So I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you to my wonderful and loving husband, Doug, who designed the logos for this podcast, as well as the podcast Off Kilter No Filter and Secret Spy Sisters. Off Kilter No Filter is a podcast with me and Byron Alexander, where we discuss everything and anything. Doug also designed the logo for my new podcast, Secret Spy Sisters. It's a podcast. Oh my gosh, it's a day. It's a podcast about women spies throughout all periods of history and around the globe. Come listen to all these podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcast you use. And make sure to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, favorite us on Anchor, or whatever podcast you use. Women Committing Crimes and Secret Spy Sisters are also at my website, www.womencommittingcrimes.com, where you find the podcast, pictures, as well as lists of all the women I plan on having an episode for. There is also a suggestions tab where you can let me know which women you'd like to hear about. There is also a place to comment on each of the episodes. Come check it out, please. I love the feedback. Thank you to Byron Alexander for the music for this podcast. The intro is Forgive Me and the outro is Who, both from his way awesome album Square One, which you can find on Spotify, Amazon. He has a YouTube channel, all that kind of stuff. It'll get you moving and thinking. It's marvelous. And I'll try to remember to put a link in the episode description. Right on. If you have those comments, questions, or suggestions for an episode, you can go to the website or you can email me at womencommittingcrimes@gmail.com. I will even read your email or comments on the podcast unless you would rather remain anonymous. If so, then make sure to express that in your email. Please support this podcast. Go to https://anchor.fm/Elizabeth-Chase and click the support button. You can make a one-time donation or sponsor on a monthly basis. Support on a monthly basis. It would be greatly appreciated. You can tweet at Crimes Women or join the Women Committing Crimes Facebook group. See you there. All right. Now you know what time it is. It's time to go into that bowl and check out who we have for next week. Here we go. Ready? Getting the piece of paper. I always get excited right before I open it, and even more excited afterwards, but let's see. Holy shit. This one's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, so next week is Martha Stewart. I love Martha Stewart. Yes. In fact, you know what? I think what we're going to do next week, we're going to have a special. Let's do a special. I kind of set this up ahead with my partner from Off Kilter No Filter that someday I would ask him to be on this podcast and kind of be a co-host just for a little bit. And I think that's what we're going to do. So for the Martha Stewart episode, I'm going to ask Byron Alexander to join me and we can, you know, tandem this. Maybe we'll act it out. Who's going to be Martha and who's going to be Snoop Dogg? We'll have a good time doing it. So let's get into some insider trading. Let's get into baking some cookies. Let's get into, you know, the whole Martha Stewart conglomeration. Exciting. See you in the dyad. Bye-bye.